In this segment, we're going to talk about articulations. And articulations are joints. There are many different kinds of articulations in the body. This is going to be chapter 8 in your textbook. And we are actually going to cover articulations more in lab, but I do want to cover a couple of things in lecture. So there'll be a little bit of overlap between what's going on in lecture and what's going on in lab. The first thing I want to talk about is three major categories of joints. And these are categories that are based on how movable the joint is. The first category is a synarthrosis, S-Y-N-A-R-T-H-R-O-S-E-S. And these are immovable joints. There are actually quite a few different kinds of immovable joints in the body. Probably the most obvious one that comes to mind right away for people would be the sutures of the cranium and in the skull. And these are joints that, once they have formed, really do not move at all anymore. Some other examples would be the joints that bind the teeth into the skull. Any kind of area where two bones fuse, those kinds of joints are immovable. So also, for the most part, the rigid cartilage that bridges between the ribs and the sternum, although there is actually a little bit of movement in those joints. A second category of different types of articulations are the amphiarthrosis. And this is A-M-P-H-I-A-R-T-H-R-O-S-E-S. And these are slightly movable joints. Usually there's a connection between the bones of collagen or cartilage. And these are joints that are going to move a little bit, but not very much. And an example would be the tibia and the fibula are attached to each other by an amphiarthrosis type of a joint. There's a little bit of flex there. There's not a lot of movement there. Another example would be any kind of symphysis. And these are usually formed with a wedge or a pad of fibrocartilage between two bones. And a really good example would be the pubic symphysis, where the two hip bones come together in the front and there's a wedge of cartilage. And that flexes a tiny bit, but not very much. It actually does relax quite a bit under the influence of a hormone called relaxin right before a woman gives birth. And that will affect both the way she walks up until the time she gives birth and also helps to open up the birth canal a little bit. Finally, the last kind of joint, or the last category of joint, are the most freely movable, and these are called the diarthrosis, O-S-E-S. And these are also called synovial joints, and these are probably the joints that most people think about when they think about joints. These are going to be the joints that can move quite a bit, things like your elbow joint, your shoulder joint, joints in your finger, your hip joints, your knee, etc. So I want to go into a little bit more detail about the synovial joints, because they're also, besides being the most freely movable, they're also the most complex physically of the joints. These are typically found at the end of long bones, and they will always include certain characteristics in the joint, which you won't necessarily find in other types of joints. One thing that you always find in a synovial joint is the articular capsule. And this is a fibrous capsule plus a synovial membrane that encloses the joint and basically causes there to be an enclosed space around the joint. The ends of the bones that articulate within this articular capsule are going to have cartilage covering the ends of the joint. So these are called the articular cartilages. And this is typically hyaline cartilage. And it's going to have a nice, smooth, glassy surface. And the purpose of this articular cartilage is to provide easy movement of the bones against one another, less friction, and so on. Also found within the articular capsule is synovial fluid. And this is secreted by the synovial membrane. It fills the capsule. It's a thick, viscous fluid. Has a high concentration of proteoglycans, so it's going to have kind of a slippery, kind of a, well, I guess a slippery texture would be the best way to say it, but kind of thick. And its function, it has several functions within the articular capsule. One is lubrication. It reduces friction between the bones that are articulating with one another. It also serves for nutrient distribution. There's no blood inside of the articular capsule, and so there has to be a way for oxygen and nutrients to get transferred from one area of the capsule to another. And these components of, well, oxygen and nutrients can actually dissolve through the synovial fluid and go from one area of the capsule to another. And then finally, the third important function is shock absorption. This fluid helps to absorb shock, and this is especially important when you think about knee joints or ankle joints, joints that are going to be absorbing a lot of shock and pressure as you exert your weight onto the legs and so on. There are other components that are often found in the synovial joint. These are other cartilages, fat pads. They have specific names. I'm going to talk about some of them. Menisci are pads of fibrocartilage, and sometimes these are also called articular discs. And they're basically just made of fibrocartilage. They provide more shock absorption. Ligaments are going to be found within the articular capsule and without. So both on the inside of the articular capsule and outside of it. And these ligaments in general are going to connect bone to bone. So always remember that ligaments are going to connect bone to bone, whereas tendons connect muscle to bone. Now, when you have a sprain, for example, if somebody sprains an ankle or sprains their knee or something like that, usually what happens is one of these ligaments that attaches bone to bone has become stretched past its normal capacity, and the collagen proteins that make up part of that ligament become torn. And what's important to remember about this is that ligaments do not usually have a very good blood supply, and so healing of these can be very difficult and take a long time. All right, some other things that are sometimes found in synovial joints, bursa are small fluid-filled pouches. They're surrounded by collagen, kind of a membranous outside encapsulating membrane. And these contain synovial fluid. They are there for padding and, again, for more shock absorption and so on. And the disease bursitis, remember, we talked way back at the beginning about some of the prefixes and suffixes. And the suffix, or the ending, of itis, I-T-I-S, usually means inflammation. So you can probably guess what bursitis is. It's an inflammation of the bursa, and can cause some very painful situations for joints. Okay. Again, I want to point out that nutrients are distributed in the synovial joints, mostly through the synovial fluid. And also that the synovial fluid is involved with shock absorption. There are sometimes also fat pads. This is adipose tissue that's covered by a synovial membrane. These are usually outside of the joint capsule, and they're used kind of almost as packing material to kind of stabilize the joint. Let's see. Another factor that's found in synovial membranes that, or not so much in synovial joints, but in all connections between muscle and bone, are going to be the tendons. And these are usually not part of the articulation itself when we're talking about specific joints, but their presence around the joint often stabilizes the joint and also, in some cases, may limit the joint's range of motion. So the joint, for example, the shoulder joint would have much more range of motion if it weren't for tendons that are holding various muscles in place and kind of limits that range of motion. Now, I want to talk about when you're thinking about joints, always remember that joints are sort of a compromise between stability and flexibility. And so anything that makes the joint more flexible is going to make it also a little bit more prone to injury and less stable. On the other hand, anything that makes a joint more stable is going to, in most cases, limit the range of motion. So joints in general are going to be a compromise between those two things. And some of the things that are stabilizing for joints and which can also reduce the range of motion but do provide strength include things like collagen fibers, the shape of the articular surface. Menisci can sometimes prevent movement but help to stabilize a joint. And in some cases, other bones, muscle, fat pads, and so on around the joint will have an effect on that stability. All right, the last thing I want to talk about having to do with the articulations, at least as far as our lecture material is concerned, is two different terms that have to do with injuries of the joints. And we've already talked about sprains, which is a stretching and sometimes tearing of a ligament, but dislocation, which can also be called luxation or subluxation, is when the articular surfaces of the joint get out of alignment. And so especially luxation is articular surfaces are forced out of alignment, and the reinforcing structures, whether those are ligaments or menisci or tendons that normally hold the joint together and in a stable position, have failed. Now, sometimes this misalignment is not complete, and this is called subluxation. It would be also called a partial dislocation.